This podcast is intended for an adult audience and does contain some very graphic descriptions of sensual scenes. So please only continue to listen to this podcast if you are willing to indulge in your deepest desires and are of a suitable age. On this bonus episode of Wild in Bed, the runes are cast, the rituals prepared. Now it's time to break the rules, fall under the spell of spoon-worthy supernatural heroes and magical heroines in fantastical worlds filled with dangerous adventures and epic romances. Witches, wizards, shifters, vampires, demons, devils, and other mythical creatures prowl the pages of this limited edition collection of paranormal romance and urban fantasy tales. Yes, we have a chance tonight to dive into the pages and taste the delights from between the covers of Rituals and Ruins, an epic anthology of paranormal dark romance from some of the best authors in the business. If you like your romance with a sparkle of magic, then you are guaranteed to find something to satisfy your needs between the covers of this book, which is available at a special pre-release price of just 99 cents right now. Hi, it's Devlin, and welcome to another episode of Wild in Bed, your destination for salacious stories, sensual satisfaction, and finger-licking good fantasies. Yes, it's book time again. Well, it's been a little while. Rituals and Ruins is available for pre-order now at just 99 cents. Of course, that price will be going up once it is released. And we are lucky enough to be able to enjoy some excerpts from the book tonight. You know you can enjoy these stories laying on your bed. Just put your earbuds in, loosen your clothes, close your eyes and surrender to the pleasure of Rituals and Runes. And when you're ready to take that dive into some paranormal romance, just go ahead and take a nice deep breath and hold it for just a moment. And then release it with a sigh, letting go of any tension, any stress. The next 30 minutes or so, we're going on a little paranormal adventure. So take my hand. This is your time to relax. Your time for sensuous satisfaction. Your time to explore your inner desires as you listen to my voice and feel the sparkle moving through your body from Rituals and Runes. So what paranormal delight turned you on? As you probably have noticed, I have a particular penchant for erotic paranormal stories. So have my personal favourites. What about you? Perhaps a sexy witch story gets you tingling all over. Then you will enjoy Air Witch by Gina Kincaid and C.D. Gorey. Even the blurb on the back cover will get your juices rising in anticipation. With this particularly magical story, exams suck, especially Westwood's Academy mid-year magical decathlon. Maya is the youngest witch in her family and the sole heir to the fabled Merryweather Cache of Magic. It is her duty to uphold the family name and to bring honour to the Merryweather witches that came before her. Her parents aren't the only ones with high expectations for their youngest. She has her professors on her back too. One in particular. Not exactly what she had in mind when she came to Westwood Academy. Longing for freedom, she only wants to make her own choices without repercussions to her family name. or may I disappoint a family in school by refusing to play their mid-year games? Or will she draw on her inner strength and surprise even the most cynical of her instructors? Find out in Air Witch. Welcome to Westwood Academy. Forget what you know and let your magic run wild. And it gets even more enticing as we grab an excerpt from the book. I can't believe this jerk, I growled, staring down at my tablet. The grade stared at me in red, unflattering ink. For some reason, he preferred to mark the electronic document with a stylus rather than type in the grade. It made it that much more glaring. And I totally blame the fucker. What? Does he get off on this? Just look. I held the tablet out to my roommates, waiting for their commiseration. It was there for all to see, an ugly scrawled B in bright red pixels. That rat gave me another B. What the actual fuck? Okay, I was raging. I knew that. Merryweather's rarely cursed. And it was my one outward act of rebellion, to curse as often in my thoughts and in private as was possible. My roomies would never rat me out, so with them, I cursed all the time. Shit, fuck, bitch, ho, and damn, damn, damn. But really, another bee? How the fuck? I slammed the tablet down on the small table that sat in the middle of my dorm's kitchen. I shared the space with three other witches, and after a few months, we had all grown quite close. It was the first time I did not have a private room, and whatever mix-up caused the situation, I was happy about it. I had been assigned to room 563W for the duration of the school year at Westwood Academy. Typically, witches and wizards roomed with students of the same coven, who controlled the same element. I had never had a roommate, but my room was always in the Calum Coven, among other witches assigned to the same coven. It was completely unprecedented. But maybe that was why I'd kept it secret from my parents. Martine and Frederick would surely raise hell if their little princess was not surrounded by top pedigree air witches. No. They wanted me around vapid airheads, probably hoping it would rub off, which was precisely the reason I kept the news to myself. Besides, I liked it there in room 563W, larger than my previous private suite, and cozier too. I was currently staying in one of the single bedrooms overlooking the courtyard. As the only female child of my parents, I never had childhood friends or playmates aside from forced time with my cousins, and that was not always pleasant. This was new and different, but so familiar to me. I found these particular witches, even Tanner, interesting and, well, I liked them. I never had real friends, and despite seeming popular, so this was a whole feast of firsts. Rio stifled a giggle. And Magnus, her mate, merely grunted. The big blonde male barely spoke. But that was shifters for you. Rio didn't seem to mind. And I suppose it was really her opinion that mattered. I kicked off my Prada heels and scrounged around for something to nosh. Fuck my diet. So yes, that was Air Witch by Gina Kincaid. And C.D. Gorey, just to get your juices warmed up there. Oh, something darker, is it? Something that you can really get your teeth into. Or maybe it can get its teeth into you. Well, Dark Rain by Piper Stone might just scratch that itch. Cassius, hunger. It roared through my system, the intensity of my cravings creating an intense ache. I took a deep whiff holding it as I walked closer. When I exhaled, I dragged my tongue across the sharpest points of my fangs. Well, I'd had an earlier snack, the mere sip of blood had done little to satiate my increasing needs. The combination of feeding and sex for the condition I'd been forced to endure. But my ravenous appetite could only be satisfied by feasting on the luscious creature standing barely a few feet away. But drinking her blood wasn't acceptable. She was far too important to risk turning her into the same freak of nature I'd become. A delicious scent filtered across the street. The floral perfume laced with just a hint of exotic spices. Inhaling, I closed my eyes briefly, envisaging her naked body tied to my bed. Another pang of hunger roared through my system, but it wasn't my usual craving for blood that had drawn me to this location, or to the luscious creature. I fisted my hand, my breathing labored just from the mere sight of her alone. She had no idea that a predator was watching, waiting patiently for the first time. I wasn't known as a careful man, but I'd been forced to remain patient, or my life would never return to normal. I laughed at the thought. I was a brutal man in business as well as pleasure. Death and violence are part of everyday life. People feared me because of my chosen profession, not because of the sickness that had stripped away my ability to perform the required actions as any other human would do. That's because I'd been turned into a monster, a primal creature entailed in nightmares. Raw bloodlust rushed into my system, forcing me to pull away. My vision turned crimson, the heart pulsing in her neck, drawing my attention. Hissing, I turned my head, trying to control my urge. I'd never been this drawn to a human before, not in the entire 10 years of absolute torture. However, I was running out of time. I had to find a way to control my actions. This was the night her life would change. Surrendering to my carnal needs, I'd studied her for some time, absorbing her habits, her long hours spent at a job that was beneath her intellectual abilities. With few friends, her time spent alone entailed burying her nose in a book, obviously longing for a better life, one that could provide excitement, like the heroines in the romance novels she devoured. I was the single man who would provide everything she'd ever wanted, fulfilling her darkest fantasies. If she surrendered not only to my needs, but fulfilling her purpose in healing me. Rain. Her name rolled across my tongue as I whispered it, igniting the kind of fire I hadn't experienced in years. Once cured, I would sink my teeth into her porcelain skin, savoring the taste of her blood as I extinguished her life. The thought pushed my throbbing cock against my trousers, the hard pinch creating an ache that would remain until I buried my shaft deep inside her pretty pink pussy. She was very organized, ensuring the lock of the library door was intact before walking down the aging stone steps, tugging on her light jacket. The girl who walked beside her chatted away, her drivel regarding whatever cute young man who'd visited the hallowed halls of the establishment, boring my luscious flower. I could sense Rain was attempting to be polite, while longing for the dark-haired girl to shut up. A part of me wanted to become her hero, removing the troublesome girl from Rain's life, leaving her bloodless body on the cracked sidewalk. but I would refrain from indulging, at least for now. I moved closer, longing to gather a stronger whiff of rain's delicious fragrance. Exotic, spicy, and when combined with the scent of her aching pussy, my desires bordered insatiable. When the useless girl finally walked away, Rain began her walk. The same one she took every night. This part of New Orleans was safe, so she'd been led to believe after returning to her hometown. Little did she know the kind of danger she was in. She would soon learn that monsters lurked in the shadows, prepared to take what belonged to them at any time. Tonight was just the beginning. Soon, Rain Ward would belong to me, body and soul. So, yes, that was Dark Rain by Piper Stone. Something with a little more bite. I know, I'm just full of corny one-liners. You think I'd work harder on the one-liners? I was never known for my humour. There's a secret you didn't know. So, you know, a few weeks ago when we did that genie story, I know you loved it. So, maybe you would like to read Jasmine by Jane Taylor. A genie with the most definite frustration, should we say, after being stuck in a lamp for all these years. Well, let's give it a go, shall we? See if we can tease you with this one. These are the three rules all genies must obey. No killing, no raising the dead. And above all else, never fall in love. I have been granting wishes to the most deplorable of humans for thousands of years. So when Prince Ali releases me back into the world, I'm not prepared for a selfless man who isn't an absolute bastard like all the others before him. His stepfather is another story. The new Sultan carries out his rule with an iron fist. His return to barbarian ways leaves the kingdom cowering with fright. For the new Sultan finds joy in screams of fear and pain. When Ali comes to me with an impossible wish, I must decide whether to follow the rules or break them and be banished to my lamp forever. Like that? Well, take my hand. Let's go a little deeper into that magical romance. Give you more of a teaser from within the story. A rush of air filled the lamp, and then the magic ignited, and I braced myself for squeezing through the opening. The pain, and then freedom that came with it, sent a jolt through me, and I threw my arms open wide in the desolate cave where my lamp had been buried all those years ago. My dark tresses floated on the air, and I stretched, feeling every bit of freedom as a genie can when released from their lamp. I finally looked down at the person who released me, but he was face down on a ledge, barely moving. The fiery pit that traversed below the entry and wrapped around the stalagmites, eating away at the limestones, burped and bubbled, as if it had been cheated of its next meal. My gaze moved to the top one of the stalagmites, where the shiny decoy had always been. But it stood barren, which meant this fool on the ledge had somehow retrieved it, and then the world came crashing down on him. Whoever this man was, the sentry did not take too kindly to whatever he had done. It would be another 100 years before the opening we came into the cavern through expanded again, and by that time, he would just be bones. My magic carpet swirled around me, rubbing against my midriff as it said hello after so long. I gave it a squeeze. I had missed my carpet, and he obviously missed me. Seeing my old friend gave my soul the boost I needed. It swirled around and brushed along the man's back, fluffing the back of his thick hair in the breeze it created. Ant-like footprints on the entry path gave me pause. It looked as if there had been more than one person in the cavern. But what caught my eye were the claw marks on the edge of the ledge, like someone tried to climb from the pit, but didn't make it. My gaze shot to the man lying next to my discarded black lamp. He groaned and moved again. His hip rubbed the lamp with his motion. I laughed at the irony. He hadn't freed me on purpose. I drifted down and crossed my arms on the edge of the outcrop he laid on, mere inches from him. "Psst," I whispered to get his attention. His head turned in my direction, and his eyes fluttered open for the briefest of seconds, before his eyelids fell again. But it was enough time for me to see his eyes of bright emerald under those dark lids. His profile revealed a beauty that men usually don't carry. He was all high cheekbones and supple lips, with a crop of dark hair that hung over his forehead. His nose was neither too skinny nor too broad. His form was lithe but muscular, with broad shoulders that tapered to a thin waist and an ass right out of heaven's mould. He was perfection incarnate, and I sighed heavily, rustling his hair with my breath. That little genie romance is warming up nicely, don't you think? And while we're on the subject of strong female leads, you might want to check out The Rune Sorceress by N.D.T. Cassell. This woman is all strength and passion. Dark clouds let loose turrets of rain that beat against the glass windows. A howling wind whipped around the castle of Algravia, bringing with it the sound of the iron door knocker slamming into the oak front door. The noise echoed throughout the palace like a battle cry, alerting the servants of a visitor's presence. Clang, clang. The visit of a stranger on a blustery, stormy night would change Annalena's life forever. Vibrations from the door knocker seemed unusually loud over the racket of the thunderstorm outside. Annalena, one of the handmaids of the Queen of Algravia, was collecting dishes from the dinner table when the sound shook her to her core. Her hand knocked over the candle on the dining table, and the spark ignited. Blowing her breath outward, she extinguished the flicker and righted the rushlight. Next to her, another handmaiden stumbled forward and almost poured the soup right into the Queen's lap. "Diamonds and rubies," barked Queen Iridessa, slamming her handkerchief onto the handle of the walnut armchair. "Do I have any servants in this palace that can do anything right?" The monarch shifted her weight in her seat. On top of her head glittered a crown made of sparkling precious gems. It glistened in the candlelight. Her neckline was covered in layer upon layer of emeralds and rubies. Rings accentuated each finger, and diamonds dripped from her ears. Her multitude of bracelets jingled as she brushed back her shoulder-length, honey blonde hair. Her white gown, stitched with gold thread, clung to her slender frame. Turning her attention to the bowl of soup placed before her, the monarch scooped a spoonful of broth and rose it to her red lips. She sipped and shook her head. "It needs more pepper. Take it back." The ruler of Algravia shoved the bowl away, creating splatters on the silk tablecloth. Annalena shook her head. Being a handmaiden to the queen was not an easy job. Brushing her blonde locks away from her forehead, she picked up the soup when the unanswered knocks sounded again. "Who disturbs my peace during such foul weather?" huffed Iridessa, The servants in the room glance at one another from across the room. No one wants to answer the door and risk getting soaked. Annalena could feel the Queen's eyes on her back as she adjusted the curtains. The great hall was large but cozy, which made it hard to hide from the Queen. The large oak table, which seated 20, looked quite lonely with Iridessa as its only occupant. Annalena, go answer the door. Taking a poker from the stand next to the mantel, she poked one of the half-burned logs in the giant Klipsham stone fireplace. The beauty of the embroidered mantel with the coat of arms always caught her attention. I said answer the door, girl. Placing the poker back on the stand, Annalena smiled. Yes, Your Majesty. She turned and headed out of the great hall. I hate my life, she muttered. A sigh escaped her tense lips. As an orphan teen, she knew she could not complain. The rain pelted the glass, and the wind howled as she approached the embellished oak door. Who would venture out on such a miserable night, thought Annalena. And where are the guards? Wrapping her slender fingers around the iron handle, she pulled back with all her might. A gust of wind, followed by raindrops, pelted her face. Wiping the eyes with the back of her hand, she blinked a few times for her vision to clear. In front of her was a hooded figure. Lightning flashed across the sky, and thunder cracked, which added an aura of mystery to the stranger. Hello, the visitor called. Might I trouble you for a place to lay my head? I have been traveling for so long. I know you're so excited already, but I have one more for you. Yes, one more. One that I know will take you over the edge into a paranormal, romantic fantasy. It's The Unlikely Trio by Roxy Matthews. The name's Oscar. She stopped, turned. I didn't ask. He shrugged. I know, but I like to know the names of the women I pleasure in dirty bar bathrooms. Her eyes rounded. Perfectly sculptured jaw dropped. When she pulled it back, looking around them, then glared those dark brown eyes on him, he struggled not to rip her up off the floor and take her back to that damn bathroom. Around them, the bar had returned to its usual rowdy atmosphere of drunken, or on their way to, warlocks of all clans, all but Puck's, all but hers. His curiosity as to why Puck's daughter walked in the bar once, let alone twice now, was eating at him, but he was more enamored by her than he expected, considering it was he who had the ability to make any woman melt into a puddle of sex at his feet. Somehow this woman was turning the tables on him. She took several steps closer, shifted the heels to one arm, reached the other out. Trinity. He took her hand, felt the heat emanating from her, shook it. With a half-cocked grin, he watched Trinity change before him. Her irritated stance shifted, and the beauty of her face at that moment nearly took his breath away. Damn, this daughter of Puck's had some magic, and he was so fucking lost in it. Oscar? She tilted her head. That doesn't sound like a warlock name. He stifled his laughter at the look of innocent confusion on her face. Neither does Trinity. When her expression pulled back, head straightened, he knew there was something she was hiding, something she didn't want known. She was everything he expected in a witch from Puck's clan, yet she was somehow different. What was she hiding? That she was Puck's daughter? Hell, he already knew that. He scoured the bar, Not a patron was paying them any mind. Instead, drinks flowed, men laughed, glasses clinked, and the hollers of an impending fight impregnated the walls of the bar. The part of him that knew he could delve into the deep recesses of her mind to know the answer held itself back. There was something about her that was alluring, made him want to know her the old-fashioned, magic-free way. So, why not make your night pulse with a little paranormal passion and throb with supernatural seduction? You know you can pre-order your copy of Rituals and Runes right now from your favorite online bookstore for just 99 cents. Or just follow the links in this episode's notes. Until next time, when we can get wild and bad all over again. This is Devlin Wild, wishing you salacious dreams.